Ravens season came to an end last night. They had locker room cleanup today, or clean out. Our own Cordell Woodland was there covering the Ravens for us here at 105.7 The Fan. And Cordell, you and Beltway Ben Hall coming up at 6 o'clock. Before we get to the locker room thing, just your thoughts on what you watched last night.
Another disaster of an ending of a season for the Ravens. I mean, it just seemed like a lot of their issues that have plagued them throughout the year come up again yesterday. Defense, I mean, they can't stop anybody. I mean, I'm watching Aaron Rodgers blow through three timeouts before they even get close to the end of the game. Two of them in that same red zone trip. And you've got corners falling in pivotal moments of the game. You can't get after an immobile quarterback. You can't stop a passing attack that has nobody that scares you beyond 10-plus yards. They can't tackle underneath. And obviously, Kyle Hamilton going down was a major blow to the defense and really probably more of an indictment about the way that the team has been built. They're just so top-heavy that if their one percenters aren't either A, available, or B, playing at their best, this team is half as good as they probably should be. So they go into the offseason with a bunch of questions. We'll see if we get any answers anytime soon.
Well, spinning it forward, how much change? Because there's no way it's going to be status quo, but it's how much change are they going to undergo?
I mean, realistically, just looking at it, Zach Orr, I don't know how he survives this.
Right? It can't.
I don't know how he survives this. This is probably it for him. And Monken, I think Monken has been, I'm not going to sit here and act like Monken is absolved of any type of blame. I think he'd be the first one to tell you he shouldn't be. Especially the way the game, I have a huge issue with the way the play calling went on the offensive side of the ball in the first half last night. The way they were calling, granted, Derrick Henry was running the ball really well, but you'd have thought Lamar Jackson didn't know how to throw the football or do anything the way they were calling some of those plays in the first half compared to the second half when they needed points, when they needed plays, then you saw Lamar show up. But if it were up to me, I don't think Monken should go, but I can't tell you what's going to happen with him because he has been kind of the scapegoat a lot this year through Harbs that brought him up earlier in the season. And then you got the reports from the banner. I mean, I just don't really have a true pulse on what's going to go on with Monk. And I don't even know how much he wants to be here after a year like this. Harbs, my gut tells me he's still here. But should he be? Probably not. He hired Zach Orr. He hired both of these guys. Zach Orr is the real indictment on Harbs. He stuck his neck out. That was his hand-picked guy. And it's been a complete disaster. And Harbs and all these other veteran coaches that they brought in were brought in to help on that side of the ball, and it still stunk. So Zach Orr, he'll be the guy that, you know, takes the blame. But all of them were a part of this mess on the defensive side. And I didn't even get to the GM. I don't think DeCosta will be fired. Probably, I don't even know if I think he should be, but he definitely deserves blame for the way that this roster is built. It's clearly was a poorly built roster that had deficiencies outside of the top layer, and it cost them as the year went on.
The part I wonder about is, so they've been firing coaches and coordinators around here forever, going back to a latter stage Ozzie before the baton is handed in personnel. When does anything change in person? George Kukinis has been here forever. Did they work anybody out on a Tuesday who made this team better? Like, were they churning the back end of the roster? Like, the same scouts, the same analytics people who keep leading you to think you can build a team one way when the rest of the league's building their rosters different. Like, I wonder where the checks and balances are there. Like, even if DeCosta's gone, should there be someone brought in from outside the organization in some sort of other personnel role for some checks and balances? Like, hey, maybe, you know, corners who run this fast and have this wingspan but never make plays on the ball? Like, or maybe you need to factor tackling into your evaluation of the secondary more? Or, like, what are we doing evaluating pass rushers? Like, or how about we stop drafting second and third round kids who were coming to the league hurt, or first round kids who were falling because they're small? Like, I feel like they keep thinking they see value in places
that's not really helping them at the high end when the season's on the line, but there's no one in that building to make them do it any differently.
I mean, I think it's all fair. I think everything should be on the table after. This is as bad as it. I don't even think they ever imagined it would be this bad. And granted, it's 8-9. They barely missed the playoffs. They missed on the field goal. Some teams would you know, high five off of that. That's not the Ravens' way. That's not what's expected in that building. And I think it's all fair. Look, what Hamilton, Wiggins, Starks. I mean, that's three first rounders in your secondary right there. This isn't a ball hawking defense. No. This isn't a no fly zone type of defense. You talk about value with some of these picks. They have been bargain bin shopping for draft picks and some of these free agents that they bring in all the time. I always go back to it. Lamar, a couple years ago, Lamar asked for OBJ or D-Hop. They go get OBJ when D-Hop is better than this version. And I still think D-Hop this year didn't really get to show what all he could do. But it's just always going to be, if you give them two options, they're going to take the lesser of the two.
And didn't they just do it, taking Andrews over Likely?
I mean, and then...
What the hell is that?
I was just telling Ben.
It just happened. They just did it.
I don't know if you could find another player that was extended midseason, and then you look at their stretch of games after that extension to the end of the year and find anybody that's had a worse stretch than Andrews. When they needed to have a play last night... They're not even looking at him.
No.
He's not separating. He gives you no boom.
They've got
Des
Walker taking on linebackers and not tight ends. What's that tell you?
It's mind-blowing. The pass rushing thing is awesome. I mean, they keep drafting these guys, and they don't pan out. It just is. And that's a premium position. That is up there, in my opinion, with the quarterback position in today's NFL.
And
they keep in every other organization.
Not here.
Cordell, a special edition of Fresh Take tonight?
Yeah, end of the season edition of Fresh Take tonight. So, yeah, from 6 to 8, we'll be talking a lot to the people and giving our thoughts on the season that was. Locker room cleanout was today. I mean, went about as good as you could imagine it being. I mean, guys don't have a whole lot to say right now and saying their goodbyes, and some people saying goodbyes for the last time here in Baltimore. So, I mean, we'll see. I haven't gotten anything on the end of the season presser just yet, but I'm sure there are a lot of questions that a lot of people want answered here.
I wonder what you could have got a ticket in, let's say, late July, early August. Ravens and Commanders both to miss the playoffs. Ravens and Commanders both to finish alt win totals, not 500. Alt win totals, 9.5 and under.
Well, I know that would have been a great payout. The Ravens were the Super Bowl favorites.
Yeah, I did see this, that the Ravens were -625 to make the playoffs. -625.
Lighting money on fire.
Jeez.
How are you feeling about your Commanders right now?
It is what it is. You know, I'm right back at home. Yeah. Right back in the top 10 pick. You
there
know,
we go.
Business is booming, baby. We've got a lot of cap room out there. Still got the young quarterback.
Von Miller wants to come back.
He can go. I bet he does want to come back to whoever will pay him. But look,
did he get a sack yesterday?
Yeah,
did he get his money?
He did get a sack yesterday. I actually think Cliff should be back. I'd like to see him get a third year with Jaden, with an offensive line that's actually healthy, with more talent, with an actually healthy Terry McLaurin. You know, he's earned the benefit of the doubt for me, so I'll give him one more year. But I said it when they hired Quinn. They hired a coach that they'll just be looking to replace in 2 years. That could very well be the case next year.
Brandon Ayuk, come on down. Yeah. Huh? It's another Adam Peters special.
I don't want any more Niners.
In the role of Debo Samuel.
I don't want any more Niners.
Brandon Ayuk.
Unless it's CMC. I'll take CMC. Ooh.
Cordell and Beltway Ben Hall coming up at 6 here on the Fan. But coming up next, it's T-Bone time. TMI with TAM. What you got?
We always talk about the Ravens coming up small in big-time moments. And you talk about the big-time games. Well, I think you really need to focus on what's going on between the Ravens and Steelers, and it really tells the story of what is going on with this Ravens team, and it is not good in these big spots. I'll tell you
why. Bone's going to tell a bad story.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM. The floor is yours.
Ravens struggle in playoff games. Last night wasn't officially a playoff game, but it was pretty much a playoff game because it was win or go home. And there's not many teams that Lamar Jackson in particular struggles with. Steelers are one of them. Chiefs, another one of them. The Ravens have a Steelers problem. And Ozzie Newsome, way back when, used to say, hey, we are building our roster to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. I've been as critical as anybody about their roster construction. Omar Khan and their... they have had teams in this stretch going back to 2020, for the most part, that are worse than the Ravens. Numbers bear it out. But the Steelers are a microcosm of the big picture with the Ravens. Far too often, they come up small in big spots. And it's not every time. The Ravens have won big games. They've had big moments. But it's just a fact. They come up small more often than not in those type of situations, like yesterday against the Steelers. Pittsburgh is 10-3 since 2020, including the playoffs, against the Ravens. 10-3. The Steelers are 8-1 straight up as an underdog against the Ravens. Not covering, 8-1. All 10 of their wins have been by one score. All 10 of them. And you're on the wrong end of it. 5 of the 10 have been by 3 points or less. And to the point of the roster, well, obviously the Ravens have been the favorite in the vast majority of them. Look at the quarterback position alone. Who have started games for the Steelers in those 13. You had the corpse of Big Ben in four games. You had Kenny Pickett that was a serious bust that didn't even make it to the end of his rookie contract.
But how about him in the fourth quarter against these guys? Remember the fade to Pickens in the back of the end zone?
You had Mason Rudolph, who's a journeyman at best. The corpse of Russell Wilson in three games last year. Yeah. And a 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers in two games. And then I dove more into the 13 matchups. The Ravens outgained the Steelers in 8 of those 13, yet only won 3 of those matchups. Why? Turnovers? Because the Steelers won the turnover battle in 8 of the 13 games.
There you go.
The Ravens have won the turnover battle twice. And in 13 games, they have won it twice. Once against Mitch Trubisky when they knocked out Kenny Pickett and Mitch threw three picks.
Yeah.
He was a double agent. And then once with Russ last year when he gift-wrapped a pick six to Marlon Humphrey. The Steelers are always a big game for the Ravens because they are that arch rival, because of the history of this matchup. Yeah, they've been down and they haven't won a playoff game in a, coming up on a decade, but really illustrates where the Ravens have been at in this recent era. Coming up small and finding ways to lose those big games.
It's their brand.
And once again, they don't get sacks or turnovers in playoff games. And again, last night was a playoff
Nobody game. Appreciates pass rush more than them. Yeah. They just won't spend money or draft capital to actually get it. And they can't evaluate it.
On Mike Green.
What's that?
Mike Green, they drafted. Pass rush.
In the second round.
Yeah.
And they got evaluated it so well that... Yeah.
I'm not saying they're successful.
Ajabo. That was great.
Two second round picks.
He was supposed to...
That was the value.
And in both cases, the value picks.
We let Judon walk to get Owe, who we couldn't get anything out of, who we trade for a safety who's a liability in coverage, but keeps people in line and allows us to play Kyle Hamilton at linebacker again when you could have gone and got a safety all summer long when we told you you needed a safety when our Darius got hurt. And then Owe goes to the Chargers, and he looks like Judon did when he left here.
It's like the Twilight Zone. They feel like, or they tell you they stole Ajabo because of an injury. He was going to be a top pick, but he got hurt, so you redshirt him, but you're going to have a big-time pass rusher. Never works out. And then this past year, Mike Green, you stole him because of off-the-field concerns. Mm-hmm. He's going to be this big-time pass rusher.
Yeah.
And again, he's rookie. We'll see what happens. But as of yet, it has not worked out. So that's where we are. Coming up next, six-pack time. Final time we do six-pack of offensive observations from the Ravens' 26-24 loss in Pittsburgh. That's next here on The Fan. Six-pack time. Six-pack is sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Come and try the Good Feet feeling today. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet Store. Go to goodfeet.com for more details. Ravens lose 26-24. It's our six-pack of offensive observations. And Beltway Ben, let's get started.
Number six.
Devontae Walker, first touchdown, big hit for Jason Lockenfour. Big play early. Love the play. And very happy. I did not know until today that you had given that out on the Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show. An arm of one a bet, so kudos to you.
Yeah, I just thought that they would take a – I thought it would be an under-center play action shot, but they would be in a situation where they're selling heavy personnel in a short yardage type look and that they would take a deep shot to him. And that's pretty much the only routes he runs. There's no Bateman. And Harbs praised his blocking during the week, sort of – it just was a bit of a tell to me. I'm like, he wants the whole world to know how much we love him blocking, and then they're going to take a deep shot.
Yeah.
Number five.
My six. Sorry. My six. All you Huntley truthers, shut the F up.
Oh,
swallow your tongues. Don't come around here no more, as the great Tom Petty once said. Like, and it was going on through the game. Like, stop. One guy is the greatest one of the, I don't know, 10 greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. The other guy was on the street in July and the Ravens didn't win.
That's a good commercial.
Great dude. Can manage a game a little bit. Can run a little bit. Yeah. This team, with Huntley as their starting quarterback, will be picking in the top five every year. And then the Mook GM would probably blow the pick, but that's another story.
Wow. Number five.
Number five again. Thank you. This one is so nice we played it twice. I said it in real time. We all kind of talked about it. I said it a week ago. I'll say it again. They paid the wrong tight end. Mark Andrews, big game, season on the line, comes up small. How small? So small they got Walker out there blocking linebackers instead of him. What, a couple of catches, a few targets.
Two catches, 14 yards.
Looks slow, looks old. Let's give him another $13 million despite Likely, who saved their season and set up a situation where if they had a competent kicker, a proven competent kicker, they're probably still playing football. When you are always personal instead of just business over there, then you keep doing stupid business decisions like this to spite people, to rub their faces in it, to send messages to agents. And then you come up most of the time looking like a jackass. And you're going to look like a jackass on this one because guess what? You still need two starting tight ends even though you're going to pay this guy $13 million next year.
I was not thrilled with the
play. Oh, and Bone Simulator gave me this. Since the extension.
No, it wasn't the simulator. It's just me.
No, whatever. It was the simulator.
You should always take the simulator.
Yeah, let the simulator get some credit. It was definitely a simulator.
Since the extension, 11 catches, 90 yards, no touchdowns in five games. Two catches for 14 yards in this one, a long of eight. There you go. Build around him. It'll be great. Get to the playoffs. He'll do nothing.
My five, the play calling. I felt like while the play action was working in the fourth quarter, like they just kept running Derrick Henry in the lot. The Steelers had made adjustments to the running game, and I thought there was a series early in the third quarter where Henry went for like seven for a first down, and I thought that was ripe for a play action pass. Instead, they ran Keaton Mitchell the line of scrimmage. It was a series where they eventually punted because they were punting a lot then. I like Todd Monken a lot. This has not been his best season as the offensive coordinator for the Ravens.
Number four
is Isaiah Likely making what was likely his last catch as a Baltimore Raven, which would have saved the season if Tyler Loop hits the field goal. He's the big play receiver in the play, tight end in the playoffs. And again, that was a playoff game. He comes up big. He came up big in Buffalo where Andrews did not. He came up big last night when they needed him with the 4th-and-7 catch. And now he'll be making catches somewhere else next year.
My four is the Zay and Pray were prayers answered. It's once again where there's one wide receiver. And look, Walker made a play, but I mean, Walker wasn't really, he's in there to block. He wasn't really going to be targeted. When D-Hop doesn't really do anything, when Bateman's not available for the game, and he should have already played his last game in a Ravens uniform. I mean, for Zay, who is not going to score a lot of touchdowns in goal-to-go situations or even in the red zone, to have two explosives like that and for him to, and Lamar to see the game so similarly, because that first one, there's no way that was scripted. Free runner in the A-gap, free runner off the edge. It caps a great season for him, and now they've got to find size-speed complements on the outside who can let him keep working the parts of the field where he's best.
I'll lean with Ken. We don't need to acknowledge the lunatic fringe of the Huntley Truthers.
Oh, but it was going on through the game. I mean, with that first half, it was everywhere.
And also the play calling. And Cordell mentioned this when we had him on at 5. I believe 13 of the Ravens' first 15 first down calls were runs. There was just a lot of predictability, if that's a word.
Yeah,
that's
a word.
That's a word. Okay, thank you. I'm leaning on you.
By the way, Bone has never heard of Michael Douglas, so fun fact. He's like, what's he been in, was his question. We're doing the six-pack of offensive observations, which I found offensive. You didn't know Michael Douglas is. And by the way, Ben, let's continue.
Number three.
The O-line was a failure. Pass pro is a failure, and we said at the time Justice Hill injury was going to loom large when they have to play on the road against decent defensive lines because the offensive line sucks and no Justice Hill's a problem. We got a lead being thrown out of the club. We got a lead being thrown back into the quarterback. We've got the center being walked back to the quarterback. We've got the left tackle jumping and trying to set himself and giving up free yards because he's worried about Highsmith. We've got Watt getting an interception off a bat ball. We got batted balls everywhere. Lamar was visibly frustrated, and the offense hit a wall after the 10-0 lead because the offensive line started getting absolutely emasculated by Pittsburgh up front. And that's a pretty ferocious group. We told you, Hayward's playing his best ball. Derek Harmon comes back, adds to the rotation. Watt's going to come back. If Watt plays against the Ravens, he's probably going to do something. You know, they've got Herbig to spell people. Highsmith's been playing great. But they got absolutely bullied again, and it's not a coincidence that the things that we looked at that said they probably didn't do enough to address this, it just might undermine their season. Kicker, D-line, O-line, all play a major role in their season unraveling.
My three is the Zay Flowers of it all, who, by the way, with his 4 catches for 138 yards and 2 touchdowns, he finished 2nd in the AFC in receiving yards. Like, and he had 3 touchdowns in his last 2 games. One was with Huntley and 2 last night. Zay Flowers, he's the best homegrown receiver they've ever had, and it's not close. And I am interested in when the dust settles and things calm down, do they sign him to an extension this offseason, and what does that look like?
Number two.
Two is the Derrick Henry of it all, and the numbers were great, but they faded down the stretch. He only had 5 carries in the second half. You know, he finished 26 yards away from leading the league in rushing, which is incredible. 1595 and the 16 touchdowns. I wish he would have gotten one more carry there at the end of the game. I wondered how that would have looked. But Derrick Henry, they've gotten all they could ask for out of him in 2 seasons.
Yeah, I mean, my two is Henry related. I did not like the way they handled the final drive, and I can't believe I'm wanting more King Henry even after he did get his 20 carries, because when you get the ball where they did at midfield, and the other team's out of timeouts, and you have 3, and you have this ultimate closer who takes little pitch plays or inside dives to the house with regularity and drags people with it, and you've got a kicker who's never been tested before. It's not even running at the end to try to get him a few more yards. There were opportunities to put the ball in his gut. If he's going to be out there in a 2-minute drill where he never is, I was convinced at some point they were going to go sort of against the trend and run with him, because you had plenty of opportunities to still control the clock and plenty of time to play for a field goal. And for him never to get one chance to try to put the thing away, I thought was another instance of late game utter mismanagement.
Number one.
Lamar can't do it all. What's he supposed to do? 3 passing touchdowns of 38 yards or more, 2 50-yard touchdown passes in the fourth quarter of a winner-take-all game, and they still find a way to let him down? I don't know what he's going to have to overcome, what it's going to take for them to sort of meet him halfway. I wonder what he really thinks about all this unraveling, and not just, you know, hey, what do you think of Harbs right after it ends? But, like, what does he think of the way they build their football teams? What does he think about the way they handle close and late situations? What does he think about the way they fortified or didn't fortify the offensive line? What does he think about Andrews getting a bag when he got it and not likely the guy with upside who can actually separate and leap? And there's no way Andrews is getting that jump ball in 4th and 7, maybe 5 years ago. Like, what does he think about the way they run their team? Because the same people running the team now are the ones who said he doesn't think he deserves our money, and the ones who made him wait 1.5 years longer than Josh Allen, the ones who made him demand a trade the last time around. And here we are back at that point again. Like, what's it going to take for them to help him end this BS narrative that Lamar doesn't win the big games? They lose the big games that he puts them in position to win.
Yeah, my number one's Lamar Jackson, and I didn't frankly think he was capable of doing what he did in the fourth quarter this season. I thought he was too banged up, but it looked like he took a hit that got him angry, and it just unleashed the Hulk, and Lamar Jackson did everything he could to extend the Ravens season. Alas, that was not in the plans.
Way to take down the ginger gorilla.
The O-line penalties were so critical, guys. The Stanley holding penalty led to a 3-and-out. The Linderbaum penalty when the Ravens were at the Steelers' 23-yard line at the end of the half. And then the Ronnie Stanley illegal formation on the final drive of the game. They were all at critical moments of the game.
We will come back, get the text of the day, preview tomorrow's show, and get you ready for the fresh take. Cordell Woodland, Beltway Ben Hall. They get started at 6 here on The Fan. Few minutes before we're done, and following us, it will not be Westwood One Radio, but it's the Fresh Take with Beltway Ben Hall and Cordell Woodland. And Ben, what do you got cooking for us tonight?
Basically, a post-game show for what happened yesterday. Of course, all Ravens. We might talk about some big Christmas. Maybe is he going to spend time in Baltimore? Is it just one of their waiver claims that ends up getting waived? I mean, they do that a lot. So
wave him, then pick him up again, then wave him, then pick him up again. Yeah,
and he'll be a triple A, whatever.
Yeah. So the tune in at 6 o'clock for that. But let's go to the text of the day.
Dude, check. Text of the day. Text of the day. Text of the day. Text of the day.
Okay.
Text today comes from Larry in Baltimore, who said, last year felt like the Ravens and Harbaugh finally got past their embarrassments against the Steelers, but here we are again. It's really not easy being a fan of the teams in this town.
Did a TMI on it. The Ravens have a massive Steelers problem. They've lost as a favorite 8 times in 9 games as a favorite against the Steelers since 2020. Not good.
Yeah. And they let Aaron Rodgers beat him twice. Twice.
Throw for his season high in yardage.
Threw for 600
both
yards
times.
Basically against
both
him.
Times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Season twice. High in yardage. Both times.
Bone, since we can't get enough of you, what's on tomorrow's show?
I guess. We have Andy Koska. We'll talk big Christmas with him.
Yeah.
Sure. Covers the O's for the Baltimore Banner. And Kyle Goon put out a recent column for the Baltimore Banner saying, Steve Bisciotti needs to talk. Get his thoughts on
welcome
that.
Welcome on board. Well. Glad to have you.
Jason has a single, since we have a minute or two here, has a single head coaching firing or kept guy, a guy that hasn't been fired? Has it surprised you? Anything?
No. I mean, a lot of it doesn't make sense, but it's things that didn't make sense that I knew were coming. Like the Giants keeping Joe Shane.
Yeah.
Miami keeping McDaniel.
Is that still out of spite?
Gannon. I mean, I put in the Washington Post a month ago that Gannon was dead man walking, but there are people saying he was going to keep his job. There's no way you can keep your job when you win 130 of your games and your defense starts allowing 40 points a game. That's supposed to be your calling card. And you're not developing any young players on that side of the ball. And look, weird things happen in this league. So there's always one or two things that happen a little later in the game that people didn't see coming. I'm keeping a close eye on Andy Reid. Like, there's still a part of me that thinks Andy Reid at some point in the next 2 or 3 weeks might not want to do this. And obviously the situation in Baltimore bears monitoring. But so far it's been pretty chalky.
Coming up next, don't change that dial. Fresh Take, Cordell Woodland, Beltway Ben Hall. That's next here on The Fan.